I want to read just a little bit over in the book of St. John and comment a little. It's chapter 10, St. John. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings, and many of them said, He hath a devil, and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, Thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not in me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand and went away beyond Jordan to the place where John had first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true, and many believed on him there. You see here again that Jesus uses the term sanctification or being sanctified. People in our day, you talk about being sanctified, they just kind of want to take that lighthearted, you know, say, them old sanctified people. But that's shows how ignorant they are. To be sanctified is to be clean and set apart, to be a godly source, something that can be used of God. Jesus also used the term here in the 11th chapter, saying, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me, he shall never die. Believest thou this? Now, I want to talk to you just a minute, and I want you to kind of take and stop what I'm saying, because I want to try to encourage your faith. I went into this the other night, and I talked about a few things, and I tried to explain a few things, and a lot of people are dull of hearing. Jesus said on one occasion, I have many things to say unto you, but you're dull of hearing. You can't bear them. And Paul said, I would like to speak unto you as unto spirituals, but seeing that you're babes in Christ, he said, I can't do that. So he said, just desire the sincere milk of the word that you might grow thereby. Now, I don't know how you feel, but I'm excited. I'm excited. I've been excited ever since I really come to know God. I am excited. Someone would say, well, what are you so excited about, Brother Pike? Why are you always so lifted up in these kind of things? I'm excited because my heart is rejoicing night and day. Jesus said on one occasion, he said, don't be rejoicing because devils are subject unto you. That is to say, devils being subject unto you, well, that's just part of what you're supposed to have. I mean, that's just part of the package, as we say, that comes to you. Bell order from heaven, a package of love sent down from heaven from our Father above. See, this is just part of that belongs to you. But he said, don't rejoice over that. They said, but oh, Lord, said the devils are subject unto us. Jesus said, don't rejoice because devils are subject unto you. That's not what to build your ministry on. See, that's not what you should be doing. He said, rejoice because your names are written down in the book of life. Now, that really gives us a thought right there, because here we are this morning, and I could look over at Brother Taylor and I'd say, hey, what do you think you're going to do, Brother Taylor? And Brother Taylor would say, I'm rejoicing because my name is written in the book of life. I say, oh, you can't know that. You don't know that. We just have to bobble along like a cork stopper on the water. You know, I used to have fish in my little stopper just bobble, you know. And if a fish caught it, out of sight it went. I knew I had something. You know, and somebody, they look at you as if you're just a little bobbler. That's all. And say, oh, nobody could know that they have eternal life. But yet the Bible says, we know that we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. It didn't say that we hope that we are. It said we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. We know that we have eternal life. Isn't that right? So then Jesus, he just outright right here, somebody said, wait a minute. He can't do that, Brother Pike, till he gets to the judgment. He's got to see if they're going to live an overcoming life. He's got to see if they're going to make it through. Oh, somebody said, but look there at Judas there. He says to them disciples, you have eternal life in there. Look at Judas. Nobody wants to speak to Judas, was he? He was speaking to them that had eternal life. So that settles the whole thing. If half a dozen of them had fell away, it wouldn't make any difference. Because he was speaking to them that had eternal life. And today I speak to you not as a man, but as God. For the Bible said, it's not you speaking, but your heavenly Father that speaketh from within you. And I speak unto you as unto God, doing all things as unto the Lord, and speaking as God, as the orator of God, as the voice of God, as the body of God. I speak unto you. What do I speak unto you? His word. For what else could the body of God speak? I am bone of his bone. I am flesh of his flesh. I've been sanctified by the Father. Jesus, oh, they said, you being a man, you make yourself God. He said, he that the Father has sanctified. And you say it's wrong because I say I'm the Son of God. Oh, somebody said, well, Brother Pike, say you are a Son of God. It said Adam was the Son of God. He was the Son of God. I'm not a Son of God. There isn't but one Son of God. That's Jesus. And I'm bone of his bone and I'm flesh of his flesh. Now, a Son of God, as to use a terminology, but I am the very body of Almighty God. I am bone of his bone, and I am flesh of his flesh. And Paul said, it's not me living, but Christ that's living within me. And the life I now live, I live with the Son of God. But somebody would say, Brother Pike, but I'm looking at you. I know that you're George Pike. No, you're having strong delusions. There's something wrong with your seeing. You need to have your sight checked. You know, when you get to seeing the wrong thing, you have to go to the eye specialist, and you have to get your eyes checked. So you need to go to God and get your eyes checked. You know, he'll put some salve in it. He'll anoint your eyes with salve. And he'll open up your eyes so that you can see. See, I am bone of his bone. I am flesh of his flesh. It's not me living, but Christ that's living within me. And the life I now live, I live by the Son of God. But oh, somebody would say, but Brother Pike, you're not as good as Paul. You're not as good as Paul. You know, Peter, he settled that dispute right there. When he works the miracle over there at the gate called Beautiful, and all of them run together. The Jews, you know, they had to fast so long, and they had to pray so long, and they had to go through all the ritualistics to get holy enough to do anything. And they run over there, you know, wanting to know where this holy man was. What is this has happened? And all of a sudden, Peter said, why look so earnestly on us as though we did this by our own holiness? He really rebuked those Jews. He really rebuked them. See, why look so earnestly on us as though this thing happened because we're so holy and we've done such special, outstanding things? He said it's by the faith of him, not only as to say of the man, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, whom God has raised up from the dead, that this man stands before you whole. Not by what I was able to do, not by my holiness. It wasn't by Paul's holiness that he said, it's not me living but Christ. It's not by my holiness that I stand here and say I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. But the Bible said God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And he has sanctified us once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus. I am sanctified. Then say ye that he that saith he is a son of God hath blasphemed because he says this, when I am he that God has sanctified. Not only that, but somebody says, I'm afraid, Brother Pike. I can't make it. I'm afraid I'll fall. I'm not afraid. The Bible said he that feareth is not made perfect in love. See, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid that I'm going to lose out. I have eternal life. How do you know you have eternal life? Because I believe in the Word of God. And faith in the Word of God tells me that. It tells me that I've passed from death unto life. What kind of life? Eternal life. So then I have eternal life because I've passed from death unto life. I'm not afraid. You say, well, why aren't you afraid? Because Jesus said, I prayed for you. Father, he said, I'm not praying for the world. He said, but these that love you, that want to do your will, he said, I prayed for them, every one of them. And he said, Father, I've not lost a one of them, not one that you give me have I lost. I'll raise them all up in the last days. He said, the only one that's gone is the son of perdition. That one that was a devil from the beginning. Jesus isn't going to lose anybody. He isn't going to lose a Christian. He isn't going to lose anyone. Then you say, oh, but Brother Pike, these people are Christian. I know they were devout Christians, and they went back out into the world, and now they're gone. It's like Judas. Judas was with the crowd. Judas was with the apostles. The Bible said he obtained part of that ministry. See, but the Bible said if they'd have been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. If Judas had been of God, of the disciples, he no doubt would have continued with God, and it wouldn't have been that conclamation of confusion. But he was never with them to begin with. He was never of them to begin with. Jesus said, I chose 12 of you, and one of you is a devil. See, and he says here, he said, Heavenly Father, I have not lost a one that you give me. Which means that every one is of God, and he won't be lost. Not a one of them have I lost. And then everyone that is not of God, that's a devil by predestination before the world ever was, then he is to be lost. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, look what he said to Peter. He said, Satan, get thee behind me. But see, he was talking to the devil, not Peter. He was talking to the devil. When he said that concerning Judas, he said, I chose 12 of you. One of you is a devil. So there's a world of difference. Nothing less than a great world of difference. We're here. I'm excited
Because I am rejoicing, my name is written down in the Lamb's book of life. Before the world ever was, God gave this to me in Christ and brought it to light at Calvary. And it's been preached down through the church ages. And I've come along in my day and I've discovered that I am a son of God. I am a son of God. This makes me happy. I rejoice because I am a son of God. You should rejoice because you are a son of God. If you believe you're a son of God, then you believe you have eternal life. If I asked this morning, if I said, how many of you believe you're sanctified? Well, your hand would go right up. The Bible said God has perfected forever them that are sanctified. I say this so often. A lot of people say there's no perfect people, Brother Pike. But that's because they're not Bible scholars. They don't understand. Because the Bible emphatically states that Job was a perfect man. He was a perfect man. The Bible says he was a perfect man. To mark the perfect man. He tells us to go on unto perfection. Not turning again to lay the foundation of repentance, of excuses. Over and over, that is to excuse ourselves because of our shortcoming. Don't do that. Go on to be perfect, he said. Don't be filled with excuses, but go on to be perfect. Make some effort to be perfect in body, in spirit, and in soul. Go on to be perfect. Go on to a full reward. See, being perfect means a full reward. If you come up less than perfect, then you don't have a full reward. But if you go on to be perfect, someone would say, you mean, Brother Pike, I can be perfect? The Bible said, be therefore perfect, even as thy Father is in heaven is perfect. Be holy, he said, for I am holy. And he didn't say just be holy in spirit. He said be holy in body. We should be holy in the body. We should be holy in the soul. We should be holy in the spirit. Because Paul said, I seek to present you to God as a chaste virgin. And he said, as being holy in body, as being holy in spirit, and being holy in your soul. That is blameless, he said. Blameless. When you find someone that's blameless, that means they're perfect. I seek to present you blameless, he said. Body, soul, and spirit. So then we might find one thing in the spirit and not have it in the soul. We might come short in the soul and maybe not in the spirit. We might come short in the spirit and maybe not in the soul. We might come short in one as to the body and not the other. And yet there is no way that you could come short as to one without affecting the other in the sense of your salvation. But I mean in our endeavors, like the Jews. The Jews were actually perfect in their ritualistics and the things that they'd done in the flesh. They fasted and they prayed and they'd done everything that Moses told them to the best of their ability. Ah, somebody says, no, Brother Pike, there's no Bible for that. Well, why is it that Paul said, I'm a Pharisee? He said, I'm blameless as touching the law. I'm blameless. Again, that's perfection. I'm blameless as touching the law. But in the spirit, he was as blind as he could be. He was killing the people, and he said, I am the chief of sinners because I persecuted and wasted the church of God. See, like I brought out the other night, can an unbeliever be sanctified? Oh, somebody says, no, Brother Pike, there's no way that an unbeliever can be sanctified. But yet the Bible says he can. Now, what must I do? Must I take your word or my thoughts or my reasoning? Or what the devil has to say about it when he says no one can be perfect, when the Bible says that Job was a perfect man and to mark the perfect man among you? Can I say that an unbeliever cannot be sanctified when the Bible says he can? So then I brought it out the other night. The Bible said if you are a man that is a Christian, or if you are a woman that is a Christian, if you be joined to one that is not a Christian, if they be pleased to dwell with you, don't put them away. Don't try to get away from them. If they're just willing to live a normal life and they be pleased to dwell with you and they're not interfering with your salvation and they're not trying to do anything wrong, don't put them away. For the Bible said the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the believing husband. Or the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the believing wife. Isn't that right? So then we have power. What kind of power do we have to sanctify folks? We have power to bless folks. We have power to curse folks. We have power to turn people over to the devil. Or we have power to remit their sins and take them into the kingdom of God. Let the man that converts another man or woman that converts another woman, let them know that they have saved a soul from hell. And the Bible says, hating the garments that spotted with iniquity, pulling them out of the fire. And he said again, I will send saviors, saviors in the plural. I will send them up upon the mount. We are saviors because we are members of his body in particular. Let this man know that converts a soul, that he has saved a soul from hell, from fire. That is, he's a savior. He has saved a soul. If you save a man from fire, you are a savior. If I save a little boy from getting run over out here, a car hitting him, I am his savior. I saved his life. So then I am a savior. See, I am born to be a savior. Not only born to be a savior, but I am a priest. The Bible said, for God hath made us kings and priests. We're not only priests, but we are kings, royal priesthood. And we are making intercession daily that God will grant repentance to them that are without. Pray and ask God to grant repentance unto them without. Why should I pray for another man? See, why should I pray that God will grant repentance to them that are without? I say, Jesus died at Calvary. That's enough. If that didn't do it, what can I do? But that wasn't what he said. He said, you pray, for you are in Christ's stead, beseeching God, or the world to be reconciled unto God, or God to be reconciled unto the world. He said, you are the body of the mediator as to your measure in Christ, whatever it might be, members in particular of the bone and flesh. While Jesus is away in his body, then we're his body. And we are the interceders, and we're making intercession. And see, why should I pray that God would grant repentance to them that are without? See, why should I do that? Because God heareth not a sinner's prayer. Let's give the Lord a hand. Somebody said, I know he hears my prayer. I know he hears my prayer. Well, we need to talk about being sanctified. So, why should I then pray for those that are without that God would grant repentance to them? Why should I do that? Because God cannot fellowship iniquity. Light hath no fellowship with darkness. Therefore, God cannot get to them. God cannot do nothing for them. We must pray as the body of the Lord Jesus. The blood is on the seat of atonement. And when the body was here, that body could intercede. Now the blood is on the seat of atonement. The head of the body is not here. But the members are still here. And is Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever? I am interceding as the body of Christ, as an ambassador for God. I've come from that heavenly country. Jesus said, I come from heaven, I go back to heaven. He said to them others, said, you're of the earth. He said, from the dust thou art, Adam, to the dust thou shalt return. But I'm not of Adam. I'm born again. I'm of the heavenly Father. I came from my heavenly Father. I was with my heavenly Father before the world ever was. And this was given to me in God before the world ever was. Jesus, born as a human body, born in the fullness of time, there was the Lord Jesus. God, over before the world ever was, brought him into existence as to this day I've begotten myself a son. And Jesus said, Father, restore unto me the joys that I had with thee before the world ever was. That is, Father, in your foreknowledge, you looked down here and you saw me walking and talking and glorifying your name, and we just fellowshipped in your mind there in the foreknowledge of God. Since everything's a spirit, there I was, God. And we had that joy. Now, Father, I come to thee, Holy Father, and I'm leaving the world behind. Now restore unto me this great joy. Oh, folks, I had joy with him before the world ever was. I was there with him in the beginning. I was there with him before the beginning because I was in the loins of my Father. And today I am a son of God. Sayest then that thou blasphemest because I say I'm a son of God? I, whom the Father has sanctified? So then they didn't understand it. They took up stones to kill Jesus. See, because he had this strange doctrine that Brother Pike is preaching today. Did you know, folks, it's still just as strange today to the people as it was then? Just as strange. Go into the church world and start talking like that. And I'll tell you, they'll look on you like you're some kind of plague. It scares the life out of them. Somebody says, oh, I wouldn't say that for nothing. I preached for the full gospel businessmen over in
Alaska.
Preached, and God really got to their hearts. Some people was thrilled beyond measure. And this girl that thought she was so religious, she was with a religious group, and there's a number of the boys sitting there, you know, and they were supposed to be so religious and such great Bible scholars. When I walked out, I prayed for the sick, and then I turned around and walked down the hall, and I heard something come running behind me, and I turned around, and there wasn't nobody there, just me in the hall walking down the hall. And she said, "Sir, sir." And I turned around and thought, "What in the world's that?" And I turned around, and she come right up. She looked at me. She said, "Sir." I said, "Yeah." "Oh," she said. You know, she told me that I just wrecked everything. I ruined everything. Said, "Oh, sir. Oh, sir." She was just tore all to pieces. I said, "Well, what is it?" And then she says, "Oh," she went just like that. I stood there and looked, and I thought, poor, helpless little old thing. Nobody to give her a bottle, and there she was. What is that? See, she was sincere. She was scared half to death. I had talked about some things, and it scared her half to death. There was no way in the world that could be. You know, God had just taken my head clear off for that, as far as she was concerned. But you know what? Some of those people got something from God. You know why they got it? Because they were elect. Because they were sons of God. Somebody says, "I wouldn't say that for nothing, Brother Pike. I wouldn't dare even think like that. I could never accept anything like that." You know why they can't accept it? Because they're not sons of God. Not sons of God. See, an elephant could never accept the fact that he's a lion, because he isn't a lion. He's an elephant. And you have to deal with him on an elephant scale. You have to deal with him according to elephant thinking, according to an elephant mind. So then, I am a son of God. Why do I think like this? Because I can't think any other way. Can a dog think any way other than a dog? Can a dog think as a cat? Or a cat think as a dog? You never seen a dog trying to climb a tree. See, because he don't think like that. But that cat is convinced that he can scale that tree and go up it just like that. And he does. Oh, somebody said, "Well, that's because he's a cat." Nah, that ain't why he does it. That isn't why he does it. It's not because he's a cat. That's not why he does it. See, it is because of the mind that God has given him to believe that he can do that. Things like animals, they do what they believe they can do. Men do what they believe that they can do. And anything that is believed, it can be done. Even the devil controls the world. Lucifer, the reflecting light, the son of the morning, controls the world because he believes he can do it. Why does he believe that? Because God has programmed his mind to believe that. He believed that he is the most powerful being in the world. And aside from God, in that God is not in the world, he is the most powerful being in the world. Somebody says, "I think you're crazy, Brother Pike." Well, I go back to this again to try to get over my point. Tell me, why is it that you can't walk through the wall, especially the walls of Bethlehem? Why is it that you can't walk through these walls? It takes people days and weeks just to tunnel through them or cut through them. That one place right there where Chuck's at, they spent days trying to cut that one place through them walls. See, now why is it that you can't do that? It's because you don't believe that. Oh, somebody says, "You're crazy. Even if I did believe it, I'd bump my head. I'd run into the wall." No, you wouldn't. See, Jesus said, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is." He said, "According to your faith, you can do it." Jesus walked right through the wall. Somebody said, "Yeah, but Brother Pike, you've got to remember he wasn't flesh like I am and bone like I am." Well, then he would have lied. And we know he can't lie. Because when they said a spirit, he said no. No, he said a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. You mean flesh and bones walk through the wall? Well, come on, I can't do it. You understand what I'm saying? It's because of your unbelief, Jesus said. For verily I say unto you that whosoever says unto the mountain, be removed, and don't doubt in his heart, that mountain will move. I know. You know, down through the years, we've said, well, we've heard this before, you know, and they've talked about moving the mountains, all these kind of things. But, somebody says, no, that isn't the way it is at all. It's exactly like he said. If you will believe, you can do anything you want to. It doesn't matter what it is, you can do it. Somebody would say, well, bless God, I ain't seen you move no mountains. I have moved tons of them. Been moving them ever since I got in touch with God. Moved one last night. Got the brethren to help me with it. You mean you can move a mountain, Brother Pike? The Bible said you can resurrect the dead. I am the resurrection. In case you're looking for it. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I'm the truth, in case you're looking for it. I'm the life, in case you're looking for it. Just in the event that you're looking for it, this is the place, right here. Oh, somebody says, Brother Pike, you talk like you're God. Oh, I didn't say a thing about that. I said, Jesus said, I am the life, the resurrection. I am the truth. If I'm not the truth, how can I speak to you about truth? If I'm not the life, how can I give you life? If I'm not the resurrection, how can I cause you to pass from death unto life? Oh, somebody said, well, you can't do that. The Bible said, whosoever sins I remit shall be remitted. As my Father has sent me, so send I you. Whosoever sins that you remit. And it'll be not you speaking, but it's the Heavenly Father speaking from within you. Whatever you curse, whatever you bless. They said even concerning Balaam, they said, we know that if he curses somebody, that's the way it is. So the king paid him a lot of money, said, hey, come over and curse these folks. You know what's wrong, folks? Somebody said, I could never believe that, Brother Pike. That's true. You could never believe that because you're not that. But if God had programmed your heart to be like that, to think like that, you could be like that. You know why a man's a billionaire? He comes into this world. The first news you know, he begins to get a hold of something. And he begins to think a certain way. And the first news you know, he's a billionaire. You know what makes a doctor, and a dentist? It's their thinking. It's their thoughts. It's their thinking. You know what causes the man to be insane? It's his thinking. You know what causes the person to be sane? It's his thinking. See, that is to say, you have to think. Your mind has to be programmed to believe a certain way. And so they believe like that, and that's the way they are. Somebody says, well, Brother Pike, I think they just struck it lucky. I think they struck it lucky. I know that there are people that inherit wealth. I know that. They inherit diseases. They inherit health. I know things are heredity. But the thing is, those men that I'm speaking of, they didn't just get like that. It's something that they understand. It's the way they think. They have been known in the past that someone would take all of their wealth away from them. And within just a few months, they would be wealthy again. You understand what I'm saying? If you know how to make $1 million and somebody steals your $1 million or robs you, if you got the know-how, it won't be long before you make another $1 million. See, that's the way God works. So this is a great thing. That's why I'm excited. I've discovered something. I've learned something. I've come to something. And it's a great, mighty thing. You sit around, you know, and mope around talking about being a Christian, and you don't believe nothing except problems. You just believe in problems. That's all. Tell me something. Why does a man die? Because he believes he's going to die. Well, somebody said, well, I know folks that, you know, Brother Pike, they believe he's going to live and they die. You never know anybody that believes he's going to live or die. There ain't no such thing. Jesus said, according to you believing, so be it to you. The man that believes is going to live, live. Why did Enoch leave this world and just walk right on into another world? Because he believed that. The Bible said this was his testimony before his translation. He had this testimony that he pleased God. And the Bible said without faith it is impossible to please God. He just went around with God so much and fellowshiped God so much and loved God's way so much. He just got clear out of the realms of human reasoning as to desire the things of the world like Elijah did when he hid away in the cave. And the same thing happened to him that happened to Elijah. See, the very same thing. It happened to Enoch because the Bible said that God purifies our heart by faith.
And he kept believing, and his heart got more pure, and the more of God. More of God came. More pure, and the more of God came. And after a while, there's just so much of God in him, he just... The light just translated him. Like I said here, if I keep increasing the candle power as to the light, whereas the Bible speaks of the spirit of man being the candle of the Lord, searching out the inward part, and he warned them and said, if you don't do thus and thus, I'll remove your candlestick. You won't have any more light or light, because light is life and life is light. So then, if you increase this light would be increased to such great extent that the image would dissipate. There wouldn't be an image anymore. Like the Bible speaks of the coming of the Lord, and it says in the day of God, when he comes, the Ancient of Days, sitting upon the throne, the Bible says that during that time, that the whole earth shall pass away. Heaven shall pass away. Earth shall pass away. And there shall not be anything left therein. The Bible says the mountains shall flee away. And the sea wasn't found anymore. Why is that? I brought it out the other night. I wish we had time to comment on it. Maybe we'll later. But see, I brought it out that this world is a lying vanity. When the light comes, the shadows flee. All is vanity, vanity and vexation of the spirit. How did Jesus walk through the wall? Because it's a lying vanity. It's a lying vanity. Somebody said, but I bumped my head on it. Bump your head on a lying vanity. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, that couldn't be. I've told you this before. Take a man, I've heard of people getting beside themselves, drink so much they have hallucinations. And as they walk, there's a big snake laying here. You can't get them over there. You'd have to drag them to get them over there. Though there's no snake there, yet as far as they're concerned, it's there. I've heard of this, they'd be walking along down a sidewalk, and they go to step down, and the curb is so high, and they stretch way out to get down there to get to it. Like Brother Raff said one time, he was riding down the road, I believe it was, in his car, and he done got all doped up, and he was having a real problem as he was riding along. The best I remember was him. He said because he kept running off, leaving the back part of his car, and said it stretched out, you know, you had to catch it up, and he was having a terrible time. The other fellow wasn't having a bit of problem with his car as he went by. Now, somebody said, well, that wasn't real. Oh, yes, it was. Let's give the Lord a hand. Yes, it was. Just as real as what you look at. Somebody said, oh, that wasn't nothing but lying vanities. Ain't that what you look at? All is vanity. All is a vanity and vexation of the spirit. So then, this is a great thing. If you believe that you can raise the dead, you can raise the dead. If you believe you can move a mountain, you can move a mountain. What do I have to do that, Brother Pike? I just don't feel like I'm holy enough. Neither did Peter. He said, why look on us as though we did this by our own holiness? Now, if it's a contest of holiness, I'm done lost out, folks. I'm down at the bottom of the stack. I'm less than nothing. Paul said, I'm less than the least. I'm less than nothing. And I'm less than that, whatever that would be. So, he called himself less than nothing because he said, I persecuted and wasted the church of God. So I'm the worst one on the list. I'm the chief of sinners. But see, what I'm saying is this. Jesus said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. That you ask what you will. Say what you will. It doesn't matter what it is. Say what you will. Don't doubt in your heart. It'll be done unto you. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, what if I say something that would... What if I say, give me 10 wives? Well, that's happened. David, that was just the beginning with David. Solomon had a whole slew of them. But should I do that, Brother Pike? No. Should I then ask for these things? God, give me $1 billion. Should I do that? Would God give it to me? Yes. Providing that you ask for it right. It's like my David Paul yesterday. He said, he gave $200 in the offering. He said, I haven't forgot, Dad. He said, I pledged $1 million to God's work. He said, I haven't forgot. He said, I'm making money. I'm making money. For the first time, he said, and I haven't forgot. He said, and I was riding down the road, and I said, Lord, I haven't forgot. I pledged $1 million in the men's service. I know you thought it was a joke. Some of you made a joke. Ha, 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 David Paul. Look at David Paul. But see, have you thought about the pledge you made lately of $100,000 or whatever you pledged? I'm sure that some of you never even thought about it the second time.
See, it's as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. You think about what you're giving. Oh, David, Paul will never give that. He may give 10 times that. I taught him to believe. And he believes that he's making money. And some of them are saying, this is phenomenal, David. You can't do this. You just can't get in the business and do like that. But he's doing it because he's got a believing on the inside of his heart. What you believe you can have, it doesn't matter what it is. Well, I can tell that ain't getting over. That ain't ringing a bell with some of you at all. You're right back where you started when I was starting this morning. But nevertheless, there is the few, the little flock, the few. Some of you didn't like it because I brought it down to a natural application concerning my son. I said, you didn't like it. But it still works anyway. It works for him just like it works for you. And some of you that's so holy, you know, David, Paul, being so bad, you're so holy, maybe you can pray for that unholy person. But nevertheless, Peter said, why look on us? If it's a matter of doing it by holiness, then I am the chief of faithless. I built Bethlehem, I didn't do it by holiness. Somebody said, well, the way you built it, I done it, Brother Pike. Why, some of you are so lazy, you haven't even been able, I haven't been able to get you to do hardly anything. I got a few faithful like Gideon's few. And a lot of them is a turnover. They're here today and gone tomorrow. And God has to use a faithful man over here today and over in Africa, somewhere else, or over here in another place, and they're just going in and out. But I got a few of them that stayed with me, like Brother Atlee. Of course, Brother Atlee was gone for a number of years down in Florida. Now, see, God does it. God did it by faith, not by Brother Pike. He did it by faith. I believe that, and it happened. Well, somebody says, well, I don't believe you believed it. Well, what is it doing here? How did it get here? If I didn't believe it, the Bible said, prove all things. And then you'll have rejoicing in what you can do or have done. Prove it. See, prove that you can do it. We prove it can be done. We've done it here by faith in God. It's here. All of it is here. You can look at it and see. Not only here, but over yonder. And over yonder. And over yonder and around the world. And as the Bible said, faith spoken up throughout the world. Can we do it? We've already done it by faith in God. Paul said, you skeptics, people that are so doubtful, he said, if I'm not an apostle to others, he said to you that follow me, without a doubt I am to you because you are mine apostleship that's written in tables of flesh. You're the proof of it. Some of the men that stayed with me last night is the proof of it. Some of you others are just skeptics. You don't come out enough to even help. So, professing yourselves to be wise, Paul said, you become fools, not understanding. Talking as though you understand, but he said, I would not have you ignorant. You say that you understand. You condone your way of life, and you think that God is altogether such a one as you are. And you go your religious way. You have your religious state affairs, or whatever it is. See, but God isn't involved in it. You think that God is in your program because you've come up with something. It's like little Mike Smith told me the other day. Mike was talking to me. I said, Mike, you need to get in with God. He's been out here for a couple of times lately and really worked and helped me. I said, you need a vision. Mike, that's what's wrong with you. The Bible said, without a vision, the people perish. He said, you know what, Brother Pike? He said, I've learned something. I said, what is it, Mike? He said, a vision and setting goals is different. He said, I set goals. He said, but I don't have a vision. And that's what's wrong with some of you people. You don't have a vision. You set goals. You come up with things in your mind and thoughts in your mind, and you figure it's got to be like this, or this is what you want, or this makes you happy, or you feel like this will project you, or this will raise you up. The Bible said, exalting yourself, you'll be abased. But seeking God, and then God exalts you. Nobody's going to abase you. They sat around David. They thought, David, I want to put you down. I want to put you down, David. I want to put you down. But they never could. God made David's enemies to be at peace with him and caused the giant to fall at his feet. The giant of opposition crumbled because of his faith in God. Somebody says, but look what kind of trouble David got in. He did because of his own doings. Because of his own doings. Nobody didn't make David do that. Now, on the other hand, somebody said, well, that proved what kind of fellow you were. Gave God a chance to really process David. Really put him through for messing around with so many women. God got upset. You find that after God put David through the things he put him through, David didn't mess with women anymore. He had his wife and that was it. Before then, he was just marry, concubines, whatever. And when God put him through the fire, he got over that. You know, we've got a lot of preachers like that today. They want two wives and three wives and half a dozen on the side. You know, he said, well, David was a man after God's own heart. So they get in the hog pen and they wallow in the mire. And they say, God bless me, I'm after your own heart, God. The only way you could be after God's heart is wanting to cut it out. So then, what is God saying to us? God doesn't condone sin. God wasn't in David's iniquity. See, but God was in David's believing. David, you have a faith that you can walk up to a lion. You can walk up to a bear. You can walk up to a giant. My, what a heart of faith. That's my own heart, David. Courage, no fear. That's faith, not make-believe. You know, I know we got a lot of courageous men. They make believe they're so great. They're so without fear until the test comes. See, and he can't even step all night long. They ain't got enough faith to even step all night long. Ain't got enough faith to give anything to God. Ain't got enough faith to deny themselves. And they walk around just all tore up all the time. Every time they have a pain and a little misery, they just know they got cancer. They know they're going to die. They just can't make it. I got others that's got grunt. I've got all kind of pains and could have grunts and complaints and everything else. I hope Sister Frances don't get on to me later about this, but I'm going to say it anyway. When Sister Frances come here, she had so many grunts and complaints that every time you met her, every corner she turned, she had something wrong with her. But Sister Frances wasn't living right either. Then when Sister Frances got the living right, about the only complaints I hear now is that you won't help her clean up and do the things you need to help her do. Sometimes she'll come crying to Sister Betty and tear Betty up because Betty will say, Sister Frances is trying to keep things clean and nobody won't help her. And a lot of times they don't, just like she said. But all the time, she comes up there, she does her work at the security office. She hardly ever comes to us complaining about any kind of sickness, whatever. I know she's bound to have problems. Everybody does. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivered them out of all of them. But see, Sister Frances has changed her believing. She's changed her thinking. She's got faith in God. She believes God's going to do something about it, that God's going to help her. And so she is a light. This is where we all get into trouble. See, when they went over into Canaan, they spy out the land, they come back murmuring and complaining and said, oh, the giants, the problems, the oppositions. And God got upset. He got upset. Somebody says, oh, Brother Pike, I just ain't got no money. I don't know how I'm going to make it, Brother Pike. I think about some of these preachers. They have got more grunts and complaints about not having money. I've seen them go into revival. I've seen them have money, thousands of dollars, squander it, do away with it, or pack it back. And then they'll come to the saints and say, woe is me. You know why they do that? They think like that. They are leeches, and they'll never be anything else. They don't have any faith toward God. And the Bible said when these come back from Canaan, God got upset. He said, you've discouraged the hearts of my people. You know, a preacher, he said, a king. So he discouraged the hearts of every other young minister. Maybe there's a young minister fixing to go out for God, but this man has had so many kinks, and he's so scared he dare not take a step. And some of you are the same way. You've got so many grunts, you've got so many pains, you've got so many ailments. Every time that you meet some of you, you're just a big bag of sickness. And you know why? Because all you do is eat, drink, glutton. You don't fast, you don't pray, you don't seek God, you don't study your Bible, you don't give, you don't try to help anybody. You're just a big bag of complaints. And God said, you've discouraged the hearts of my people, and I swear that you won't go into my rest. Did you know you can only enter into the rest of God by faith? You're translated into that rest. And if you don't have faith, then you're cut off. And that's what's wrong with you. You complain, and Christ is the high priest of our confession. And when you confess all of that, then that's the kind of condition you're in. When you confess prosperity, blessings, and health and happiness, that's what you are.
That's what you are. I'm talking about with your heart now, in faith. Faith must make a confession to God.
That is faith by the hearing of the word. God said, I've supplied all of your needs according to my riches and glory.
What is my need? My need is health. My need is happiness. My need is peace. My need is for my wife to be true and for me to be true to her. My need is for God to watch after my children. My need is that I be fed, that I be clothed. My need is to have salvation. My need is so many, many things, all things that pertain unto life, not only in this life, but in the life of the world to come. And God said to them that come from Canaan, said, you discouraged my people, and said, I swear that you don't have any faith, and you will never enter into my rest. And Paul said, seeing that these were cut off because of unbelief, speaking of the church in the wilderness, he said, you better have the fear of God, the reverence of God, the respect of God, to believe in the word of God. Believe in the word of God. Believe in the word of God. If the Bible said, I would above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospereth, don't go take a part of that. Ask and receive not, because you ask amiss to consume it on your own lust. He said, even as your soul prospers, seek ye first the kingdom. All of this other will be added unto you. I'll make you rich. My blessing will make you rich. And I won't add any sorrow. But as long as you're in your human reasoning, as long as you're in those kind of things, you are in a world of fatigue and woe, heartaches and sorrow, and a wandering star. You're never going to be nothing.
No, I said, well, Brother Pike, I think you preached enough. Let me go. Doors on all corners. We still got something to say yet. All you that's had all you want, as the brother said, he done got his, you can go. Now we're talking about to the second. Take the second shift now. They don't stop the meal. They just let the first shift go and then they put the second shift on. All right. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had that all around the clock like they do, making money? Somebody said, but Brother Pike, that's of great importance because that feeds my belly. All of your labors for your mouth and for your belly because your belly craves it. If that's of great importance, what about the word of God, the house of God? Getting to the restaurant, is that important? Getting your way, is that important? Getting out there where you can do your own thinking, lean your own understanding, is that important? Or is it important to listen to the word of God and grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and stay like Paul did all night long, or at least long enough to get a decent sermon? Somebody says, I'm tired. You're not tired. These men that worked all night's tired. These men that stayed up all night, they're tired. They're the men that's tired. And they're staying here to hear the word of God. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, they stayed with me all night long to hear it and work while they was listening. So you don't register anything on God's scale because of your foolishness. You come back, you go over there, you're made partakers of the Holy Ghost, you taste of the power of the world to come, you taste of the good word of God, and then you go right back to the wallowing in the mire after the sow has been washed. She goes back to the wallowing in the mire, and the dog goes back to his vomit. That is, go back to your old conversation, your old way of life, seeing the things on television, this numb versus reading the things out of magazines. You ain't got no business messing with ball games, worldly frolic, money, all of, and as I say, religious attire. Some of you just Pharisees, scribes, and hypocrites. That's all. Whited sepulchres that don't appear, and men fall into them unawares. You're full of dead men's bones. That is, you've killed and you've killed and you've killed. You've swallowed up the righteous. Who is this that eats my people like bread, the Bible says? Who is this that eats my people like bread? Who is this that when I fed to the fool, you knee after your neighbor's wife? He said, all of you, after I fed you to the fool, you stand and knee after your neighbor's wife. You can't be satisfied with one wife. But when God puts you through the fire like David, then you'll be satisfied. See, won't I visit for these things, saith the Lord, a sinful and adulterous generation. Won't I visit for these things, saith the Lord. So then, according to the doings of child is known, whatever you believe, you can have it. God will keep you sanctified. Lord, keep me sanctified. When the storm clouds gather, keep me sanctified. When you get to where serving God is a joy. For me to serve God is the joy and jubilance of my life. I don't feel like going around melancholy all the time. And just all out of sauce, never having any testimony of faith and victory. I don't feel like going around discouraging the hearts of God's people. I want to encourage the hearts of God's people. I want to say, look at me. God's been with me all through the years. God has helped me. God has stood by me. Sure, He'll stand by you. If I'm the chief of failures, He'll surely stand by you. Stand by me when the storm clouds are raging. Stand by me, Lord. Stand by me. Brother Jerry done something the other day. He sure better believe God's going to stand by him. He took a big step. I'll tell you, a big, big step. We used to play that old game, you know, take a step, take a baby step, take a giant step. He took a giant step. And he can do it. It don't matter what it is, you can do it. You might do the wrong thing. God will help you. That is to say, that not the wrong thing in the sense of doing evil, but the wrong thing in the sense that you might not want to do what you've done later. You might wish you hadn't done it. But if you'll be a real man, put your foot down. Stand right to the plow. Don't put your hands to the plow looking back. Put your hands to the plow. Don't draw back. Say, I've done it. I stood for it. This is the line that I draw. I'm going to be a man, and I'm going to quit like a man. I'm going to stay there until it's finished. That's right. As a matter of fact, Betty and I paid off some things just recently. When I went to do it, I looked and I said, about 15 years. I said, but by the grace of God, I'll be a man. I'll stay there with it. 15 years went by. I stayed right with it. 15 years, everything was just right. Hit it right on the button, as we say. Because that's the way we said it. That's the way we did it. See, but people that are wishy-washy, that can't, they'll decide something today and tomorrow, they're undecided, something else. They're double-minded. They don't know what they want to do. They don't know where they want to be. Over here today, they're over here in Georgia, and you do a little something, they get out of source, and they just wreck the house and the minds of the children and tear the families up. I want to be over yonder somewhere in Oregon. I want to be over yonder somewhere in Mexico. I want to be over yonder somewhere. I talking to a man the other day, I thought, every time I see you, you're like a worm on a hot rock. You just talk about being over here, being over yonder. All the time, can't be satisfied nowhere. And these people say that they have God when the Bible said, be contented in whatsoever state you find yourself. And these men, like wandering stars, raging waves, foaming out their shame, that is to tell you all about what they're doing and what they're going to be, and it's nothing but just a shame in the sight of God. They're foaming out their own vomit. Restless waves. But God, lead me beside the still waters, on the inside of the waters within the bank of the miry clay. They're still and calm and peaceful, because great peace have they that love the Lord. All of his paths are peace. As for the old paths, that is the biblical way of life. That the fathers have said, don't move the foundation or the landmarks. That is, don't tear the foundation down. And then you'll have peace. All right, let's stand together. See, you thought I wasn't going to find the end here. You thought I was just going to go on and go on until you got weary and just have to force me to shut up. But here we are, telling you to stand. Sad, folks. I don't mean it wrong, but it's sad. I talked to you, and I know that some of you liked staying with me last night. Perseverance, you've got something coming from God. You're going to be blessed, and some of you are on your way to the lake of fire. You're never going to escape it, like the dream of that boy the other night. You're never going to escape it, because you don't have a hunger for God. You don't have a hunger for the things of God. You don't have a thirst for the things of God. Your mind is on your belly to get to the cafe. Sunday morning, and you look forward to the cafe. Some people don't even have bread on their table, let alone the money to go to the cafe. I enjoy going just like you do, eating and drinking. But I love God better. I'd rather talk about God. I'd rather put my meals off. Many times I've forgotten to eat all day long. Many times, because I got so carried away with the things of God. I mean, literally forgot to eat. And then over in the evening, late evening, I begin to get hungry, and I think, I'm hungry. You know? And then I think, well, I hadn't eaten all day. People who love God, you know, they do that. But in the day we're living in, people are so jam-packed in their minds with television shows and buying. And here at Christmas time, people go off from Bethlehem, take a chance with a life, run off somewhere. And I'm not saying that because of Brother Lynn Lundebo. Lynn said he hadn't been home in 30 years for Christmas.
But I know people that with a regularity, it doesn't have to be Christmas. They're always going, always. They get in a leading to go to their relatives or go back to their home country or look back into Egypt. And God told them over there that they didn't even have time to bury the dead father, let alone to do the things the others do. This is a serious thing. A man's on the battlefield. He's in a dugout. He's down in a foxhole. He's shooting and people shooting back at him. You know, Frank's over yonder and I'm over here. And I say, Frank, I think I'll go home for a little while. Hold the fort. I stick my head up and off goes my head. Somebody said, do you believe that's like this, Brother Pike? Many a man has stuck his head up from the dugout and he ain't with us no more. And he ain't never going to be with nobody because he got killed. Spiritually killed. The man that sat at the organ right there where Frank is. I stood here one morning and the Lord revealed something to me about the man. And the man kept aggravating me in his spirit. Nice, fine looking fella sitting there. Had done a lot of good for Bethlehem. And I'd work with him to try to get the muck out of his life. I told him, I said, if you don't quit aggravating me with that spirit one of these days, I said, I'll expose the whole thing. Trying to work, trying to work. Somebody said, you mean you let him do that, Brother Pike? I'm afraid it did. I did until one day I gave him a sop. And today he's a drunkard. And today he's a sodomite. And today he's in trouble. Fine young man, prestige. Outstanding in the eyes of people, capable, intelligent. The stain of the blood, we sang the song, keep me sanctified. See, and we do you that way because we love you, we want to help you. Who knows but what the believing wife may win over the unbelieving husband as he beholds the chaste conversation of that wife coupled with Thea because he sees God in her life. Who knows? Maybe he's a brother. And you don't realize it. Just waiting for him to come in. Well, I hope you understand the things that we say. Some of you do because you're children of light. Some of you don't. You'll not see when good comes. Satan's blinded the eyes of your understanding and you're walking in darkness. How can a blind man see? And if the blind try to lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. Let's sing a song together. I don't say these things to mock you. I say these things to shake you. And I bring it down to your level as day-by-day conversation and fellowship. That you might be aware that God loves you and the danger of many things that you're doing. Let's be a light. Testify of God. Let's don't discourage the hearts of the people. Don't do that. I warn you. Don't do that. When people meet you, you talk about what God has done for you and the good things that's happened to you. You say, well, what about the other things, Brother Pike? Take them to your prayer closet. Talk to God about them. Nobody's wanting to hear your problems anyway. I invite you to come and tell me your problems because I'm your pastor. So does Sister Betty. And we try to listen because we want to help you to find a place of rehabilitation for you. But there ain't no need of going through the church and discouraging the hearts of a bunch of little children that's they'll hardly know their right hand from their left. They're looking for strength. And you go through there and tear them down because you're always, always somehow. Don't do that. That's not the right way to do it. Okay, let's sing a chorus together. Let's move that word, I can't, out of our vocabulary. Let's get rid of that. So, well, how can we do that? By being transformed in our minds. Can we possibly do that, Brother Pine? I think that word must have just slipped in, ain't and can't. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. All things are possible to them that believe. I have an unction from the Holy One that I should know all things. God has made known unto me all things that he has made known unto Christ. As Christ Jesus is the perfect one, the all-complete one. As he is, so am I in he, the Bible said. And what God wanted me to be, he made Jesus to be that. Holy and godly and pure and just. And he said, now, if you'll just do the things in your life, Brother Pine, the works that it takes to stimulate your believing,
you'll believe in the finished works of Jesus Christ, in the faith of Jesus Christ for which you're sanctified, and you can have this wonderful blessing of God through the treasure of that faith, heavenly treasure in your earthen vessel. But if you're not willing to conform to God, to try to be like God, to do the things that please God, your believing is never going to take hold of the faith of Jesus Christ. So you're never going to have the blessing. All right, there's so many things that I would like to say, but we have such few minutes to say these things when we come up to preach. Let's sing, I love him, and I tell you again, if you love him, you'll keep his commandments.
I love him. I love him. All because that he first loved me. And he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the Word Divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. For every promise in the book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in God's Word. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Let's sing this chorus together. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see. Sing it with me, can you? It was grace that taught my heart to fear. It was grace my fears relieve, for how precious did that grace appear. The hour that I first believed, and when the battle is over, we shall wear a crown. We shall wear a crown. We shall wear a crown. For when the battle is over, we shall wear a crown. The Jerusalem. We'll wear a crown. We'll wear a crown. We'll wear that bright and shiny crown. For this battle is over, we shall wear a crown in that new Jerusalem. We'll wear a crown, wear a crown. We'll wear a bright and shiny crown. For when this battle is over, we shall wear a crown in the new.
A lot of times in singing, I look over to the right and I see Brother Taylor sitting at the organ. And it really warms my heart to make mistakes. I think Brother Taylor tell you he's made some mistakes. But I see him there, and then I think of the numbers of years
but he's been there. Can just about always look over there and see Brother Taylor standing by my side. You know, loyalty. Maybe he hasn't always done like he ought to. I'm sure that he hasn't. I haven't. But still the loyalty of somebody that you can count on. Not leaning on him, nor him leaning on me. Not leaning on the arm of flesh. Not going down to Egypt as to the intelligence of man for our help. But nevertheless, loving one another, not knowing him after the flesh, but as the body of the Lord Jesus. I see strength. I see stability. I see within him, him and Sister Linda, I see something that God has wrought in their life. A light all down through the years. Everybody that has ever met Sister Linda and Brother Frank Taylor, they can look year after year and day after day and say, you know, old Brother Taylor, he's still going on. He's such an inspiration to me. I've heard people say this. Sister Linda, and heard my wife, they're one of the finest. Betty can count on Linda. When all the rest of them lets her down, she can put in the account. She can always count on Sister Linda and will as long as Sister Linda walks with Jesus. Same way with me and Frank. See, loyalty, that is what counts, folks. Not that you're so holy, but loyalty. You're willing to repent, turn around, stand with the man of God, stand with the brotherhood, stand with the church, stand in the time of need. Being there, somebody that's not a wandering star, somebody that you can count on. I marvel at David's stability. He has problems. He comes and discusses it with me. But he tries to fast. He tries to pray. He wants to be part of what I'm doing. He'll come and work and help. Brother Mike will beat you. I didn't see Mike around this morning, but Mike stayed there last night. Him and Brother Steve beat you. And I said, Mike, man, give me that hoe. I said, you've been working like a horse. I mean, he works. Stevie works. They work. Sister Beachy, Brother Beachy ought to be so grateful for them boys. They work. Of course, all of their boys work. Myron works. Lonnie works. The dad's a worker. They all work. He left them the right kind of example. Well, anyway, I'm going to close after a while. Believe it or not, if you keep on believing, according to your believing. I don't believe you're going to close. Well, might be here longer, according to your believing. Anyway, I see this in some people. God sees this in some people. It's stability. Brother Taylor has been through so much misery, pain. Sister Linda, she conquered cancer. Always testifying of God. Always doing her job. See, and I've got some like this for which I'm so very grateful. So very grateful. Folks, you don't find too many people in the world like that. You don't find any in the world. Some in Jesus that's out there among those of the world. So let's have a testimony of godliness. If you've got a pain, go talk to God about it. The Bible said, he that's afflicted, let him mourn. Mourn before God. Talk to God. You can do a lot of things. You can't imagine how many things you can do and still have aches and pains and back problems and head problems and family problems and all kinds of problems. All right. I want you to lift your hands up. I'm not going to ask you to come to the altar this morning. The altar is within your heart. You know that. If you want to come to the altar, you're certainly welcome to come. It's always open. Always open. Some people like to come with a regularity. That's excellent. I have no objections. It doesn't make Brother Pike feel bad. It makes me feel good, everyone that comes down to the altar. All right. So we're here together, brothers and sisters alike, with all purity and all love and cleanliness. Not coveting our neighbor's wife, our neighbor's husband, but with all love and respect. Looking unto and hastening unto the coming of the Lord Jesus, trying to perfect our lives, trying to do what's right. God loves you. Remember that. He loves you. He so loved you while you were yet in your sins that he gave his son to die for you. And if he so loved you while you were yet in your sins, how much does he love you now that you're trying to go the right way, even if you stumble? Along then, he wasn't even making any effort. But don't take advantage of your grace and use it for a cloak of maliciousness. Don't do that. Don't do evil, that is, while you have days of grace. For they turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. That is, taking advantage as to his blood atonement. They're doing their own wicked things and still being sanctified in the sight of God as Jesus was to get the blessings of God, the rain on the just and on the unjust, on the briar and on the wheat.
But after a while, there's going to be a segregating, folks, a severing of that from among their own. And it's going to be a sad day. And you're going to say, where is that love? Where is that God of grace? You're just reflecting the church's grace. They're keeping you sanctified like Judas. After a while, God's going to give you a sign. While we're standing here with our eyes closed and our hands up, I'm going to ask Brother Tony Potton to come up here, if he will. While Tony's coming to pray, think this over. I have no objection to you going to the cafe to eat. Eat and drink. Solomon says this is all that you have as to your life. This is the best thing you can do, because someday all of it will be taken away from you. Who knows but what you'll leave your labor to a fool. But while you're eating and drinking, Solomon said, don't forget God will bring you to judgment for all these things. For the whole duty of man is the fear of God and keep his commandments. See, while you're eating and drinking, think about the little orphan. Think about the widow. Think about the needy. Share, share, share. Give of that which you have. And behold, all things are clean unto you. God will prosper you and bless. Think about salvation, lost souls. Think about the true ministry of God that's given up everything to go for God. And they need your help. They need your strength. They need your love. They need your consideration. They that wait at the altars are partakers with the altar. They've given up everything. Don't forget them. I don't say these things as to myself. Paul said, for the benefit of myself, to speak in respect of one. I say so many times to you, I'm not speaking in respect of one. For the Bible said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There's nothing that I desire but what God gives it to me. The Lord is my shepherd. I don't know who your shepherd is, but the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Whatever I desire, he gives it me. He loves me. Even Job, he had a hedge built around Job. Even the devil knew that. So he's got a hedge built around you. Let's make up the hedge and pray for one another. While Tony comes, Brother Tony.